Thank you very much, and I'm delighted to be here. So what we'll be doing for the next period of time is actually shifting from early detection to survivorship care. So in other words, the academic community collaboration that I'm going to be describing addresses the issue of breast cancer for African-American breast cancer survivors. And I would like to acknowledge Kim Nesbitt, our research coordinator for this partnership. I have no financial relationships to disclose. We're just fine in relation to that. And in terms of acknowledgments, I would also like to acknowledge my numerous co-investigators who appear on the study abstract, which is available to you, and also our funding from both the Lance Armstrong Foundation and the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So the issue today that we're going to talk about is the formation of an academic community partnership between us at the School of Medicine and the Sisters Network Incorporated, which is an African-American breast cancer survivorship organization that has approximately 45 chapters nationwide. It's a partnership that began in 2005, so we have been ongoing and sustained for around 5 years. We're actually heading on our sixth year. We have conducted two projects together. Project one, which was actually a web-based educational program, and project two, which I will really be addressing today, Strategies for Health After Breast Cancer, which is a video educational program that was funded by the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So what I'll speak with you about today are our goals of this partnership, the conceptual frameworks that we've utilized in the context of forming the partnership, our outcomes, and also the evaluation, which is in progress right now. The goals of the partnership itself was to deliver evidence-based guidelines for survivorship care according to the Institute of Medicine, which were released actually in 2006, to develop methods for instructing survivors in making plans of care based on risk-based choices for screening, lifestyle modification, and chemo prevention, all oriented toward reducing the risk of breast cancer recurrence, and also to provide information about the risks and benefits of the choices that survivors have available to them. So one of our frameworks was that of community-based participatory research, for those of you who are familiar with that format. The key elements of CBPR are collaboration between academic and community partners, which takes which makes use of the expertise of each of the partners, education and training as an important part of partnership development, and of course, action. The purpose of the action is to improve the quality of life of community partners, in this case, breast cancer survivors, and to reduce their risk of cancer recurrence. The framework that may be familiar to some of you, developed by Harold Freeman in the context of the Patient Navigation Program in Harlem, New York, looks at the importance of economic, social, and cultural factors from throughout the entire continuum of cancer care, so from early detection on through diagnosis, treatment, and survival. As part of the training and an important part of our partnership, we looked at factors that were associated with breast cancer survival disparities for African-American women, including the cancer biological factors, the socioeconomic factors, the medical institutional factors, a lot of which relies on physicians and providers' quality of care, the behavioral factors of the survivors themselves, from early detection on out through the continuum of cancer care, and the cultural attitudes, beliefs, and values which embrace this entire paradigm that are extremely important. Other presenters have talked about the issue of disparities in cancer, and here you see that the incidence actually for African Americans is somewhat lower than for Caucasians, is higher than for Hispanic, Asian American, and Native American populations. But if we look at rates of five-year survival, and this is why our partnership is important and compelling, you'll see that, sorry. The five-year survival rates are not quite as good for African American women. They're similar to that of Native American, but lower than those of other populations. And also the likelihood of being diagnosed with localized cancer is additionally lower and is reminiscent of that for Native Americans. The framework that we utilized to a large extent in our partnership was that of social epi, which emphasizes the importance of the context of the population itself and their culture, the collaboration with population members on the research team. So what this means, as you'll see later, is that members of the Sisters Network Incorporated were full members of our research team and had specific and distinct roles in the project, in the development of strategies for health. Our partnership utilized combined qualitative and quantitative research designs and investigations to investigate the issue of breast cancer disparities. We utilized social cognitive theory, for those of you who are familiar with theoretical frameworks, as I'm sure many of you are. And this is demonstrated in our video educational program, which we had hoped to show part of. But unfortunately, due to computer limitations, we're not going to be able to do that today. But you can access it on your own through our Cancer Center website. And also, we have materials available for you in the back of the room that you can take with you, a DVD that's been produced on this. So you will see on this program that the issue of skills training and modeling is extremely important. And we have Sisters Network Incorporated members who give testimonials, so individual testimonials. They also appear, as do other breast cancer patients from one of our federally qualified health centers, in patient-physician vignettes, which looks at the discussion of patients and physicians regarding particularly important topics for African American women. One of these topics is triple negative breast cancer. Another important topic is disparities for African American women. And the third aspect, which is that of summary educational messages. Here's what you need to do. Here are the take-home educational messages which we want to be concerned with. And for those of you who are familiar with the health belief model, we're not going to look at this in great depth due to time, but you'll see that the important perceptions we were concerned with was the issue of susceptibility, perceived susceptibility to breast cancer recurrence, the ability to participate in decisions about cancer care, and the feed-through modifying factors of the health system, patient, and provider to compliance issues are a major concern. Treatment completion, making plans of survivorship care, and complying with those plans of survivorship care, which is critical for good survivorship outcome. So the guidelines that we utilize and which the Sisters Network Incorporated is now helping us to disseminate are those of the Institute of Medicine. And the Institute of Medicine specified that actually these information points were not really being conveyed by physicians. And this is what physicians, both medical oncologists and primary care physicians, needed to communicate to their breast cancer patients to optimize breast cancer outcomes. So basic biology of breast cancer along with treatment understanding, the risk of recurrence, screening guidelines following primary treatment, the side effects of primary treatment, what women can anticipate, community support groups and services. Often physicians will not address this other than possibly handing out information sheets or pointing patients in that direction, but specifically the dissemination of plans of care, which address the context of lifestyle and also culture for the particular women who are being treated. And we are going to move because we already talked about these specific factors. So this is actually just a still from our first project, which we actually discussed at the 2008 APHA meetings. This is a web-based educational program, which is still available. And in preparation of that program, we actually conducted some focus groups, which we have paper out on this. And in these focus groups with 39 African American breast cancer patients, we found that about half of them reported discussions with their doctors about changes in lifestyle to enhance survival and reduce the risk of recurrence. We also found that only less than one-third of them were able to implement these evidence-based recommendations on any regular basis, which tells us that this was an extremely important area of focus. The second study that we conducted was a telephone survey, cross-sectional survey, 15-minute telephone interviews and of women who completed their primary treatment between 2001 and 2005. We constructed a guidelines discussion scale looking at the Institute of Medicine guidelines, and that is actually available in a publication. I'm going to skip these characteristics. But what we found in this particular survey of both African American and Caucasian breast cancer patients was that income was very significant in relation to reporting physician discussions of guidelines for survivorship care, as was education, as was recurrence concerns. Those women who were more concerned about their rates of recurrence reported greater discussions about survivorship care. So our findings overall: no significant differences by race, ethnicity. We probably have a unique population in Baltimore, Maryland, and so we're actually in the process of doing a wider evaluation throughout the country to assess this. But the disparity that I mentioned earlier in terms of income and education and recurrence concerns was significant. The filming of Strategies for Health After Breast Cancer was done by Med School Maryland Productions. There is a link on this particular slide here, and you also have the opportunity to view this. Strategies for Health is currently in use as a training tool for Sisters Network Incorporated for their affiliate chapters. It is in use to expand their outreach mission and community programs, which are evidence-based, and it's also in utilization as a patient education tool in medical oncology offices. The role of the Sisters Network members, remember I said that they were equal research participants. They recruited participants for our studies. They scripted and filmed both our focus groups and our testimonials, and they reviewed and revised all of our educational materials, including the video program itself, the moderator guide, which they utilized to deliver their programs, which is available at the back of the room, and the booster bookmarks. So they really were full participants in terms of moderating education sessions, administering our survey evaluation, and distributing the video program. So really, we feel pretty good about our community-based participatory research initiative. Our evaluation summary to date was done with sisters only, about 150 members, and we really found that although women were comfortable in asking their doctors questions and knew what questions to ask, many of them did not get the information that they needed to make a plan of care and manage the problems they had in sticking with their plans of survivorship care. And so that's where our future work will be taking us. Our conclusions: we need to focus more on delivering the Institute of Medicine guidelines and other guidelines, including the NCCN guidelines and the ASCO guidelines. Okay, thank you. With women of lower levels of education and income in particular. And we need to develop clear ways and protocols to deliver information and guidelines, probably in medical care practice, to promote quality of life and reduce the risk of recurrence. That addresses the context of both health status and also lifestyle. Thank you very much, and please remember to have a look at the materials that are available at the back of the room.
Okay, before we start, one more round of applause for our beautiful panel. And you know, I'm not letting you out of here until you ask a question. Yes, it's getting that way. So let's ask a question, please, somebody. Yeah, you, turning around. You have a question? Yes? No? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Okay.
Oh, great. Okay. Hi there. Thank you.
And I remember being presented at an hour. You should be. And I think the thing that's most interesting when I was in the fact room, I'm the president
Great, thank you. I'm going to ask Kim Nesbitt to respond because she actually did that evaluation in the Sisters Network chapter. So, Kim.
I did the leadership meeting with your group. And actually, we got a lot of feedback from the women. And that would probably be some of the things that we want to move forward with, some specific materials that would address lifestyle modification. Even body image was another big factor, because you're talking about breast cancer. And a lot of the women, some actually don't get the information about reconstruction at their surgery, so they're left out there in the wind, and that poses another issue. So those are some of the things that did come up, and going forward, we are applying for more grants and looking forward to working with sisters to move that forward. Thanks.
Anything else you have to add, Dr. Early?
Did you put the plans of care back there? Or no? You didn't put any of the plans?
Just the moderator guide.
Oh, just the moderator guide.
The videos.
Okay. Yeah. We are actually in the process of assessing different templates for plans of care. You know, and pretty much, if you go throughout the country, many of the medical institutions are developing survivorship programs, okay? I think the issue is we need your help. We need the help of the Sisters Network Incorporated and other community-based organizations to link with the healthcare system in terms of disseminating all of this information. And we adore the Sisters Network Incorporated. And you know, you're such a fantastic group. And what we would like to do in the future is develop linkages between the Sisters Network Incorporated and federally qualified healthcare centers. You know, so in other words, the real goal is to reach the women who are tremendously underserved and don't have access, and don't really have the insurance to enable that access. So, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I actually have a question.
Yes.
Before your point about survivorship care planning tools, are you intending to look at any of the survivorship tools that exist, like NCCS's Cancer Survivor Toolbox or Lanzer Trump Foundation's that folks that they have? Or are you
going to continue?
Reinvent the wheel, you mean? Yeah, great question. And, you know, believe me, I am one of those people that really does not like reinventing the wheel. I think one of our problems, and it was interesting hearing, I think it was the third presentation that looked at all this data of women who have access and mammography screening, is that if we utilize similar questionnaires, we would be able to collect and share data. So, you know, I think what we are trying to do is develop a paradigm that's going to work in medical practice. Okay, you know, in other words, it's one thing to have toolkits and all of this other stuff out there, and women who are informed and educated and have all those skills and tools are going to go and get it. You know, that's really not the audience that is in need, according to the data that I just showed. I mean, we really need to address the health literacy needs of women with less education and also less income. So our goal at this point in time, what we're working on, is to develop a care plan which physicians can utilize in practice and work on collaboratively, so participatorily, with their patients and do this routinely. So it's not like haphazard, yeah, I got a care plan, no, I didn't get a care plan, but it's, yes, I got a care plan because my doctor had this thing in my medical chart that he or she could easily utilize. So that's kind of a goal for right now, is the dissemination piece, and to see where we can get with that. Because I think we know the issues, we just need to get the survivorship care planning out there, as well as test its efficacy, and we're involved in that as well. So thank you for that.
Good questions. Yep. Any other questions for any of our other panelists as well? Any of you that are students, if you want to ask you know, about war stories, about collecting data. Yes, ma'am.
Develop it into a toolkit and then adapt it and tailor that for Latinas and had similar experiences. And back to your question, is there a theoretical framework? I also teach health promotion at one of the local universities, and I believe that it's time for us to develop a theoretical framework
there you go.
For educating adolescents based on the available research showing that earlier in life exposures and also modifiable behaviors have protective effects on the lifespan. So that's more of a charge for those of us that are working in this area to perhaps collaborate. And we have some grounded theory in the sense we have
sure do.
Experience with our partners. But I think the timing is right to seek and construct a model that the program reflects the indicators.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
I just wanted
thank
to,
you. Yes, Terry, would
thank
you?
Thank you for that, because we did do a literature review to try to find adolescent outreach materials, and Zero Breast Cancer's work definitely stood out and was inspiring to us in creating this. We were trying not to create the wheel, reinvent the wheel, but unfortunately there's a lot of creating the wheel, having to, in doing primary prevention focused work at that age group. So we were using Komen materials, which were, as I said, we did use in curricula. Mm-hmm. They worked well. They were plain language and bilingual and had a lot of, I think the students found it engaging, Buena Vida.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, two of those pieces we use the most, Buena Vida and Breast Cancer in You, are ones that are actually being discontinued. But Komen is looking specifically at, I've heard, adolescent materials development targeted for that age group. So we really look forward to seeing that happen.
It seems as though she was sounding a bell, of an alarm, that you perhaps could develop a conceptual model, or at least if that's the underpinnings of a theoretical foundation, because it's needed. Mm-hmm. In groundswell. Well, I don't know groundswell that doesn't start with alarm and, you know, wanting to address something. I didn't mean to put that word. That was my word. That wasn't her word. Okay. Anyone else want to comment on that? Anyone thinking of developing a conceptual model on hard-to-reach populations, I guess, we're talking about, too? Yes?
Stuck in there with tape, I'm not messing with that.
Sorry. In terms of the underserved population, even though the adolescent or cancer survivor, and the theory is a health belief model, but tested in the general population.
Yes.
So that was my finding, that the theoretical finding you learn in the class may not work for the underserved population. So what I did, our team did, was the make sure the theory around there work for this population. If not, what's going on for the intervention? Yeah, so it's better to understand the theory is not magic, but.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Good. That's good. Very good point.
And actually, that's why, you know, yes. The community-based participatory research models is one that, you know, by involving affected populations seems more effective, and that comes out.
Wonderful, something that's pliable and moldable. Yes, okay, good. Any other questions? One last one for the road? No? Then I'm gonna thank our panelists. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
For all the work that you put into this.